everyone. Welcome to the Dirty Water News Fantasy Football Show. It is Friday, August 22nd, and we are live at the Greatest Bar here on Friend Street in Boston.
We are
live. So feel free to come out and enjoy the show with us, or if you are watching online, we're streaming at dirtywaternews.com. You can go to the Radio at DWN tab. Mm-hmm. So I am joined by my stash-tastic.
You definitely had that one prepared.
I did.
Oh, man.
This is Steve Pico, writer for yummybro.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Uncle Stav, and our other analyst, Nick Lessiger, will be joining us a bit later tonight. So, Steve, it's been a newsworthy week in the NFL, hasn't it?
It has been a newsworthy week.
There's a lot going on, so why don't we just jump right in and talk a little bit about some of the headlines.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so Thumbgate 2014, one of my other...
You are on fire.
It's crazy. El Fuego.
We've been in for less than 2 minutes,
and
you've already had two great ones.
Thank you. So as you may have heard, LeSean McCoy took a helmet to the hand in last night's game against Pittsburgh. Thankfully, you know, for fantasy owners everywhere, it was not broken, just a sprain. So do you think that this has any impact on his start of the season?
Well, for the people who have already done drafts so far this year, they can take a little sigh of relief.
Yeah.
They were definitely a little nervous last night when they saw him go out. It doesn't really impact me, really. He's going to be an absolute force for Philadelphia this year. I'm going forward drafting, I still have him in my top three.
Yep.
Jamal Charles, Adrian Peterson, and LeSean McCoy. It's really personal preference between those three.
Sure.
I'm a little more lenient to Jamal Charles, but if you like LeSean McCoy, that's fine. Have no problem going forward with him.
Mm-hmm.
What I did see last night was Darren Sproles, though, perform.
Yep.
And I think they're going to do well together. I actually think they're going to help each other out. So I thought Sproles might have hurt him more than his injury, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be all systems go for all Philadelphia Eagles, including LeSean McCoy.
Good. Cool. And one of the other, you know, if we move to the other side of the field in last night's game.
Yeah.
There were some interesting things happening for Pittsburgh players, Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount. And I will resist the Blount jokes.
You have a couple, don't you?
I'd be there at my sleep, but I already ripped a few out earlier.
Okay.
So, as folks heard, both of them were arrested together for marijuana possession. And thankfully, it is their first offense and hopefully their last. But do you see this as affecting their start of the season? And how does both the NFL and then also Mike Tomlin come down on that?
Yeah, well, to be blunt.
good one.
I mean, that was definitely, and you had that written down,
I
didn't
mean,
you? I just came up with that straight.
Like, sure.
Okay. Well, now. I actually do find this a little bit, you know, tough on Le'Veon Bell, more than LeGarrette Blount. This guy was, you know, second year into the league, had a really successful rookie campaign, kind of like Trent Richardson in Cleveland his rookie year, only like three and a half yards per carry. And this, like, you just don't need this going into your sophomore season.
Right.
You know, people are taking him at the end of the first, early second, expecting this guy to be the workhorse. And then he goes out and do something like this.
Right.
It's just kind of tough for him. And, you know, earlier in the week, Coach Tomlin said that they're going to be splitting carries, which is really interesting. So not only does he, you know, get arrested for the marijuana thing.
And in DUI, I believe, as well.
Yeah. Like, and then he also gets – he's going to be sharing carries with Blount, too. So, stock down for Bell and stock up for Blount, I guess. And it's just a tough go for Bell right now.
Yeah, and Blount, too. I mean, he had obviously trouble in college. And
trouble just follows him everywhere
he
goes.
And then last year on the Patriots seemed to escape it, but
and
shortly
maybe he's
after,
come back up to New England.
Maybe Belichick has the – he can whip him into shape, but it's too bad. And hopefully, you know, considering it is their first offense, it won't be.
I guess, you know, reports are saying that this could – you know, suspension could come out down the road.
Yeah.
I think more for Bell's sake than Blount.
Right.
But Blount is, you know, he has trouble following, like you said. So maybe, you know, he could get some sort of suspension hand though from Goodell because he, you know, wants to make that, you know, firm case like I am the law. So.
Right.
Well, we'll see what happens. Bell kind of falls to a fourth round pick for me.
Yeah.
Blount was going around the 10th or 11th round. He kind of jumps up. I have no problem him taking in the 8th round if he's going to be splitting carries in Pittsburgh.
Sure. All right, great. Well, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, you might be wondering where Nick is, and I'll tell you. He was the most recent participant in the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, which, as you, I'm sure most of you have heard about if you're on Facebook at all or on watching any news. It has actually now, as of this earlier today, raised $53.3 million, wow, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
So we're pretty excited to be a part of it. And Nick is actually going to be airing in our next segment for his own Ice Bucket Challenge. So we'll let that roll.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Nick Lessigore. I'm Nick Lessigore, host of the Dirty Water News Fantasy Football Show, and I was nominated by Tim Foy illegally. He didn't do it correctly. I was also nominated by Keith Pimentel, and I was nominated. And I was I don't remember the third person I was nominated by, but I was nominated by three people to complete the Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS, to put out the word on it, and I'm going to be donating money, and the three people that I am nominating to do the Ice Bucket Challenge in 24 hours or donate $100 are Caitlin David, Colin Campbell, and the third one. Caitlin David, Colin Campbell, oh man, and Evan Maitland. You guys have 24 hours to complete, or else you have to donate $100. There was supposed to be ice in those buckets. I don't know what that situation was. You probably should have put ice in it. Are you serious? You nailed me, dude.
All right, guys, we are trying to get in touch with our analyst, Nick Lessigore, who just was a star of that Ice Bucket Challenge video, which you may have seen. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty.
I think his phone was in the ice bucket that he poured over his head.
Clearly,
right there.
Clearly it got some water damage there, but we will move forward, and we will miss Nick this evening. We can't quite get him on the phone. Try one more time and see if we can.
If he comes on, we'll just we'll tune him in. But for now, it's the Dateline show with Uncle Stav and Caitlin.
Lucky you! Our viewers must be thrilled.
It's the fantasy football date night, I guess.
Oh my goodness!
Hey now!
I hope you buy me a drink later.
No, I'm cheap.
Not even dinner?
No.
Oh, all right.
Nope.
Well, thankfully there's free food here, so I guess we picked a good place.
That's why I brought you here.
All right, well, we're going to start our hype section and talk a little bit more about a handful of players that we have designated as worthy of discussing a little bit further about around whether or not they might be worth the hype. You know, a bunch of players have gotten some, a little bit of insight from experts saying that they could be worth a little bit higher than their current fantasy values. So let's start with Pierre Thomas, who's a running back for the Saints. What do you think? I mean, he was just basically positioned to third on the depth chart behind Mark Ingram and Kerry Robinson. Do you think that he's someone who's kind of performing in pass protection?
Yeah, yeah. Thomas is a tough one. You know, not only is Thomas tough, but the entire New Orleans Saints running back system is just very hard.
Yeah.
Last year, everybody expected Darren Sproles just to be the primetime back down in New Orleans. But then Pierre Thomas came out of nowhere and, kind of took all his carries. This year, I expect the same thing. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really does until the season starts. Because I think Sean Payton, the head coach, hides these things in the preseason.
Right.
And then just throws everybody out there.
And he even said that you never know. At some point, Pierre Thomas could be the person who ends up getting most of the carries.
I think they have three legit backs. I think Pierre Thomas is legit. Mark Ingram's legit. And I also think that Kerry Robinson is also legit. And I think we actually have
Nick. We may have Nick on the phone.
Yeah, if Nick, are you there?
You're here. Yay.
Welcome to the show.
We only missed you for one player. Good news.
Ah, perfect. That's amazing. What's going on, guys?
How are you?
Good. What do we got coming up here?
The next person that we are going to talk about is Ben Tate, which is, for me, kind of an interesting one, right? You know, out of Arian Foster's shadow and moving into Cleveland. But one of the things I think that's most concerning is that in the past three seasons, he's actually missed 24 games due to injury. I mean, do we think that he's in Cleveland, he's definitely the RB1, but is he someone that's worth fantasy, early draft pick? Nick, what do you think?
In terms of what's his ADP at right now?
He's going right now. He's going around late fifth, early sixth.
I can't hear you guys.
He's going in the right around the sixth round, Nick.
Yeah, you know what? In terms of his ADP for Ben Tate, guy's just so injury prone, and I think that's a lot of the worry for fantasy footballers right now is what his injury status is or really his health status rather. And to me, it's not really a contest between him and Terrence West. I think Terrence West is guy that he's going to be the backup there. You know, I think it's going to be the Ben Tate show. And I've heard other fantasy football analysts low on Ben Tate, but if you can get him in the sixth or seventh round, I mean, where he's going right now, I buy the hype on him. And I think that if the guy can stay healthy, proven in Houston with Arian Foster, I mean, he's proven that he can put up great numbers. So they're going to be run oriented. Brian Hoyer is his daughter. I've been covered, but you know, Kyle's Austin is there right now. We don't know what we're going to see out of Josh Gordon yet. So just in terms of Penn State, I think the guy can put up RB2 numbers. It can be a great compliment to, you know, a DeMarco Murray as your RB1, who I'm not specifically high on. But if you can get a combo of two guys with really high upside that can stay on the field and you can hit two home runs on them, and then with two stud wide receivers, I think you're looking good in any draft you have your first four picks.
Yeah, Nick, I somewhat agree with you there. I view Ben Tate as a great flex option in both 10 and 12 team leagues. Him as my second running back, like Nick likes to stack him on top of a DeMarco Murray type. I agree, like if you're going to go DeMarco Murray, you want to get a guy kind of like Ben Tate or Rashard Jennings that's in that round range right there. I like Ben Tate. I'm riding the hype train. I think, like Nick said, Terrence West is kind of out of the picture. He will play, but it's going to be the Ben Tate. It's going to be the Ben Tate train over in Cleveland. So
yep.
I agree with Nick to some point.
Great. Well, let's move on to the West Coast and Frank Gore and the 49ers. You know, reports are suggesting that his time with the 49ers is actually ending. I mean, they've brought in a lot of young talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bigger question is whether or not he's actually going to get playing time or whether or not they're going to focus on younger talent and, you know, kind of reduce his role. Nick, do you see Frank Gore as being the powerhouse back that he once was in fantasy, or do you think that he's kind of reached his end in maybe San Francisco and who knows, maybe beyond?
I mean, listen, you know, in terms of Frank Gore, there was a lot of downplay on Frank Gore. A lot of fantasy analysts last year were saying that this guy was going to fall off, and he put up great numbers. I had him as my RB2 in a 10-team league. And for Frank Gore owners, whether you're looking at drafting or you already have the league, I think it's something to feel good about. It's a tough situation because I'm actually more intrigued to hear Steve's answer with this because I know how high Steve is on the idea that Kaepernick paid, so now he's going to throw the ball more. Well, if he throws the ball more, that's going to take Frank Gore out of the offensive tree because, let's all be honest, you know, Frank Gore doesn't catch as many passes as he used to. So it's going to be one or the other. I know Steve's high on Frank Gore, but it's either Frank Gore is going to get a lion's share of the carries and he's going to be a focal point of their offense, or Kaepernick's going to be in the ball a little bit here. So for Frank Gore, when they get near the goal line, no doubt about it, they don't have another back that can punch it in. I think Frank Gore is going to be the guy at the goal line. It's just a matter of whether or not, they're passing the 20-yard line, you know, 10-yard line, or if they're going to hand it off to Frank Gore like they did, you know, two or three times to set up third down and really set the tempo for that offense and get Frank Gore going.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, like Nick stated, I am high on Frank Gore.
Yeah.
And I think there's good reason to be high on Frank Gore. He's coming off his third highest rushing attempts in his career. And last year, everybody did say, you know, this is the year Frank Gore is going to go down. Well, he didn't. He actually did very well.
Right.
He was kind of one of those guys last year where you looked halfway through the season and you go, Frank Gore is a top 10 running back. And everybody's kind of shocked. He's going in the late third round right now. Personally, if I get him in the late third round to match off with a late first round draft pick, I think that is, you know, the steal of the draft. So you're looking at an Arian Foster and combo him with a Frank Gore.
Sure.
Or a if you go high on a Gio Bernard and you kind of match up a power back and a catching back, I think you get the best of both worlds there. I am high on Frank Gore, and I would love to have him as my RB2 on a team.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and I'll say this about Frank Gore. The what you just brought up, Gio Bernard and Frank Gore is a great start to any draft. You know, I think, like you said, about Gio, the guy can catch passes. He's going to run the ball. He's going to be a huge, huge part of that offense along with Aiden Green. So if you can start, you know, your draft, you know, first round, they grab Jimmy Graham, and then on the turn to grab in, you know, Gio Bernard, and then to the third round, Brandon Marshall. And then you grab a guy like, you know, Frank Gore in the fourth or even fifth, you know. I think that starting your draft that way with a lot of great assets, I mean, that's even good PPR. So, yeah, I mean, Frank Gore is a guy that I'm not necessarily targeting, but I'm okay if I end up with, you know, on my team.
Sure. And let's round out the running backs with who I think is actually an interesting case in Chris Johnson. So the Jets brought on Chris Johnson to sort of complement what they have now as a trifecta in Bilal Powell and Chris Ivory. You know, obviously he hasn't been – last year wasn't perhaps maybe his greatest year, but, you know, he's had some good fantasy seasons. But do we even think that he's someone that's going to be getting enough attempts? And is he going to be someone that's even worth drafting? So right now they have him going in the late fifth round.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he kind of fits that Ben Tate role that I was talking about earlier, that I don't want him as an RB2, but I love him as a flex play. And I think if you go, you know, two running backs, two wide receivers in your first four rounds, you have a good picking of if you want to take a wide receiver as your flex or if you want to build running back depth. I like building running back depth in that fifth round area, so I don't mind taking, you know, a Chris Johnson or Ben Tate, Rashad Jennings or Toby Gerhart in that round, because they're going to be your depth. Like, you're not going to be starting them every week. They're going to be your flex play, and they're a very strong flex play, I think.
Yeah, Nick, what do you think?
We're talking about Chris Johnson.
That's correct.
Yeah, you know what? For Chris Johnson. For people looking to draft, and the problem with what Steve said is that he likes him for a flex spot. The only problem is that, you know, you're not going to get to that spot because there's going to be an owner in every league that targets Chris Johnson, right? And because they believe that he can be that guy that can give you, you know, 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards. And to me, especially with Chris Ivory there, and if Chris Ivory can stay healthy and the way we talked about a week ago, guys, the way he's going to be taking goal line carries away, I don't see Chris Johnson being that guy anymore. And so, and even if he is that guy, it's just, listen, like I said, people are going to be targeting him. So in terms of a flex spot, yeah, you know, all things being, that's a great, that'd be a good draft. You know, you have Chris Johnson in your flex spot. But I just think that there's going to be a guy that targets him in every league. Yeah. And unless you go three running backs in a row and get Chris Johnson in the third round, and even then, that is way, way reaching for him. So I just think that in terms of Chris Johnson as flex, not sure if I see that. But if you can get that, I mean, good for you. You know, it's just Chris Johnson's more of an RB2 situation for just because I think, like I said, there's going to be guys in every single draft that for guys like him and maybe reach for a guy like Marco Murray. They've been drafting a guy like the wide now with Baltimore just because they believe in, you know, these guys that are older still put up numbers, especially
Nick, just real question. Do you see Chris Johnson going over 1,000 yards this year rushing?
I don't. I personally don't. I think if Chris Ivory can stay healthy, I don't.
No. Okay.
I have a question for you guys. Ben Tate and Chris Johnson are sort of being drafted very similarly. Ben Tate as ninth in the fifth round and Chris Johnson as 10th in the fifth round. Who would you choose if you had the option?
That's a good one. Man.
He's trying to stump you.
I would take Chris Johnson just for durability-wise.
Yeah.
Matt, are we talking about Chris Johnson or Ben Tate?
Yeah.
I like Ben Tate. I just think that he's younger. I think that in that offense, they're going to be focusing on him. I think in New York, they want Geno to sling it a little. I do.
Yeah.
And I think that team's going to be down by a lot. I don't think the Jets' defense is as good as some fantasy footballers are drafting it. I think that defense is in startable and anything else than a 14 league. And so with the Cleveland Browns defense, they're going to keep that team in a lot of games. Let's not be mistaken, guys. They're going to keep that team in a lot of games. They're going to allow Ben Chase to carry the ball. They're going to allow Brian Hoyer to slow down field a little bit. And that's going to keep the offense in rhythm. And I think in New York, they may be playing catch-up in a few more games, especially considering the schedule they have, playing great offenses like, you know, the Bears, Bay, Detroit. So I think in terms of the schedule and everything considered, I like Ben Chase. If full time stay healthy, I'm Ben Chase.
Yeah. So let's move on to wide receivers. So Jeremy Maclin was an interesting one, having been out all of last season, tearing his ACL last year in training camp. He had a little bit of a scare in last night's game as well, but seems to be okay, thankfully. For Jeremy Maclin, what do you guys think? He's being drafted right now as a early sixth-round pick. Is he perhaps, you know, are people excited about him, think he'd go even earlier?
Well,
I like him there, but, you know, the more this guy gets injured, the more people are going to be scared to draft him, and the farther he's going to fall down draft board.
Yeah.
He's a guy that before this injury, I'll say I was targeting in every draft, and then, you know, he sort of tweaked his knee a little bit. He walked off, you know, under his own power, and that's all well and good, but, I mean, is this going to be the story with this guy? And if that's the case, this is a guy that's going to want to draft in the sixth round, instead of going for a guy like Rashad Jennings that was in the fifth that could fall to the sixth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even reach on a guy like Shane Vereen. You know, if you're talking wide receiver, you know, you could be looking at you know, different guys, you know? So I just think that it's a weird situation. You know, I may go Julian Edelman over Maxson in the sixth round just because Edelman's a safer pick, you know?
Yeah.
And, so I'm okay with taking the whole, you know, trying to hit a home run for an injury-prone guy in the third or fourth round. You know, you're sort of looking to build depth at that point in the sixth round, seventh round, eighth round. You're looking to build guys that, you know, are going to be stable for your team. You can't keep drafting guys. You can't have a team of guys that are injury-prone because eventually it's going to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So Maclin, for now, I like in the sixth round. If you ask me next week or the week after how I feel about him,
could change.
I mean, Maclin's tough because whenever I do mock drafts, I see Maclin in the sixth round. I'm like, I'm getting Maclin, you know, and I feel great about it.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, you know, come back to reality and you go, this guy's coming off a pretty serious injury.
Right.
You know, we haven't really seen too much of him, but when we have, we have liked what we've seen. Nick hit it on. When you're in the fifth and sixth round, you're not, you know, taking wild card shots. You're taking, you know, third spot in your depth chart shots at running back or wide receiver. Guys that can go in instantly and play in your flex. Maclin, to me, in the high six is a little too much, so I'm a little off the hype train.
Yeah.
My sources, I have insider sources down in Philadelphia.
Big deal.
They were asked about if you were to take Jeremy Maclin or Riley Cooper this year.
Yeah.
And LeSean McCoy was joking, saying he's good friends with Jeremy Maclin. And he said, I'm going to take Maclin. And then everybody else kind of said Riley Cooper has looked better so far this training camp. Maybe it's a connection Riley Cooper has with Nick Foles, and maybe Maclin hasn't earned his trust yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let someone jump up in this early sixth round for Maclin. I'm going to kind of stay away.
Stay away.
Yeah, I mean, I just – listen, in terms of Maclin, it's just – it's one of those things there. It's just one of those situations where the guy, when healthy, can hit home for it. He can be that guy. It's just a matter, again, of staying healthy. There's no concern on my part of him – you know, building a rapport with Nick Foles, right? It's just a matter of the guy staying upright, staying healthy, and staying up for it's really what it's about. And if he does in the sixth round, you're looking at a guy, he has potential in that offense, may they run it, Steve, to have he has that potential, the way they run that offense. Like I said, it's just a matter of staying on the field.
Yep.
Let's talk about Terrence Williams on the Cowboys. So he's entering his second season in the NFL and seems to have solidified the wide receiver two position behind Dez Bryant. And he certainly demonstrated big play potential last year. So, Steve, you know, entering his second season, do you think he's worth the hype? Is he going to have a big year?
Yeah, I never heard about this sophomore wide receiver until this year. Maybe because, you know, Alshon Jeffrey just came out of nowhere and they're like, oh,
yeah,
here's the trend, sophomore
right.
wide receivers.
Right.
I was actually a Terrence Williams owner in a couple leagues last year. and he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was a guy I trusted every week to score a touchdown. And I can, with Linehan coming in from Detroit, mm-hmm. I just see nothing but, you know, everything going up.
A lot of ups.
Yards up, catches up, touchdowns up. I think him and Dez Bryant are going to be a lethal threat on both sides of the field.
Sure.
And that's only going to help out Romo. And, you know, you look at Terrence Williams. He's going at the end of the seventh, early eighth. He's the kind of guy I'm going to jump for in the early seventh. Or if you have that late pick in the sixth and you think maybe the guy is going to swing, I have no problem jumping up for Terrence Williams. I would take him over Jeremy Maclin per se in a draft.
Okay, great. Nick, what do you think about Terrence Williams?
Terrence Williams, like Steve said, he sort of came on late last year. And nobody really saw him coming, you know. It's one of those things where you may see a guy like Brandon Cook, Kenny Stills. You know, one of these guys may be Terrence Williams for this year. And come on late, sort of blow people away. The more I read about Tony Romo and how that offense is going to run, the more I like guys like Terrence Williams. The more I may wait on quarterback this year, you know. I just think that Tony Romo's going later than a lot of guys like, you know, Nick Foles and RG3 and Andrew Luck. Terrence Williams is going to benefit from this offense. And if Tony Romo is anything like he's been in the past, he's going to throw you a ton of interceptions, but he's also going to throw a ton of touchdowns. And he looks for Terrence Williams in those moments when he needed a score. So I like Terrence Williams for his being drafted. I might even take him around higher. And, if it came down to it, I would probably take him and then save my sixth-round pick instead of drafting a guy like Jeremy Maclin, waiting a little bit later in the draft and taking a guy like Terrence Williams.
Oh, you copycat. You just said exactly what I said.
Yeah, well, I can't hear you, buddy, so I don't really know what
you're
saying.
My source is down in Dallas as well.
Right.
Had a good talk with Jerry Jones, and he said, wait till you see Terrence Williams this year. So, and Jerry Jones I trust.
I feel lucky to know Steve with his sources.
Hey, listen, you know what? This is why I got Steve onto the show. It's that VIP situation.
That's right.
I know people.
He's got the gold card. He's got that Willy Wonka gold ticket to all of his camp.
Look at
That's
you.
What we do.
Brush your
it's from the cheer. It's from the cheerleaders, guys. It's from the cheerleaders.
I won't even go there.
It's connections.
It's the mustache. The mustache.
Connections.
He's winning people with his stash. All right, guys, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Dwayne Bowe, who's kind of an interesting case. We have him going mid-ninth round. He was recently suspended for the first game of the season for marijuana possession. He did have a strong showing in last Sunday's game against the Panthers, but unfortunately doesn't seem to have had a particularly great camp. So is he someone that you draft any earlier in the ninth round, or do you think that's, you know, appropriate? Nick, what do you think?
I think that I would take a kicker before I took Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, that's
at
harsh.
Least you're honest.
That is harsh.
Yeah. No, I mean, the guys, listen, he gets suspended for the game, and he didn't show much last year. When he did, it was in the playoffs. He burned me once. You know, that to me, it's shame on me. I'll never hit the Dwayne Bowe train again. I'll never ride that train. You know, it's just the guys just, they don't pass much in Kansas City. They like running the ball. And Dwayne Bowe, you can say what you want about him coming into camp 10 pounds lighter than he was last year. But I think that they're going in a different direction in Kansas City.
Yeah, Dwayne Bowe has burned a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nick is obviously one of those people that he's burned.
Yeah.
He's burned me as well. I could probably say he's burned maybe 90% of the fantasy
football owners, sure.
But, with this suspension in his, you know, down year last year, he almost is turning into a value as he is, you know, falling later in the draft. He's going to go in the ninth round with his one-game suspension. Because people are thinking, okay, a one-game suspension on the top of Alex Smith not being able to throw the ball, Jamaal Charles being there, getting all the touches. So, I mean, Dwayne Bowe might go undrafted in 10-team leagues. You can see him in 12-team leagues, maybe jumping back to the 12th and 13th.
Sure.
I'm all in if he's in the 12th or 13th. Why not grab him as your 5th, 6th wide receiver?
Yeah.
Build depth. I'm not taking him anywhere above, you know, 11th round, maybe.
So it sounds like we love Dwayne Bowe on this show.
Apparently, I'm the only one.
If I could just interject real quick,
please.
I'd rather I would rather take a flyer. Right now, we don't know what's up with Josh Gordon.
Sure.
I would rather take a flyer on a guy like Josh Gordon late in the draft.
Yep.
And risk him getting suspended for the season rather than take Dwayne Bowe. There's so many other guys I'd rather take Dwayne Bowe. I just think that for fantasy reasons, he's not draftable to me. He's one of the rare guys that I am way, way far away from. Him and Eric Decker are the two guys I want nothing to do with.
Excellent segue, Nick. I think Eric Decker is kind of interesting in the sense that, he obviously had a monster season last year with mm-hmm. Peyton Manning, but sounds like the big question for him is, can he do it without Peyton Manning, and even more so, can he do it with Geno Smith? Yeah. So I think, Nick, we have your perspective. So, Steve, what do you think?
Eric Decker, I've always kind of, so far on the episodes, given him around the 800-yard mark. Maybe his touchdowns go up if Geno Smith can perform well. But I'm going to stick around that 800-yard mark, maybe give him 50 more yards because Geno Smith is kind of playing well. So I'll give him an extra chunk of change. But Eric Decker is just not on my – I don't want him. He's just not interesting to me.
Yeah.
And it's not just because he's a Jet, even though it may very well could be that.
It's because he's a Jet.
But he's never proven it against number one cornerbacks. He's always had Peyton Manning throwing him the – he had Tim Tebow throwing on the ball for a year. Peyton Manning's not there anymore, so everything's just going to go down to the extent, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody knows you're taking a shot on Eric Decker.
Yeah. Nick, do you agree?
I actually love Eric Decker this year. I think he's going to be amazing. No, I'm just kidding. I hate him.
I think that was about as honest as it gets. All right, let's talk a little bit more about tight end. So we have Charles Clay from Miami, who's going early in the 13th round. Not a household name in particular, but what do you guys think? Is he a sleeper, or is he a snooze, as I'll say? Nick, what do you think?
A snooze.
he's a sleeper. What was the other thing you said? A snoozer?
A snooze.
A snooze. those are kind of the same thing. So
I think that's our new saying, Nick.
Yeah,
a snoozer.
A sleeper or a snoozer.
Yeah, all right, so when I'm not there, the rails go off the train and we think it's the same. Fair enough.
That's right.
Charles Clay's a guy that Steve and I took in our 12-team PPR league, and that was Steve's idea to wait on him. And Steve, I don't know if you recall what round we took him in, but I'm pretty sure it was a double-digit round.
Yeah, Nick, in the draft we were together, he was falling. And I'm on the theory this year, if I don't get one of those top tight ends, if I'm not the first to get a tight end, I want to be the last to get a tight end. Mm-hmm. It's because of people like Charles Clay that are falling so far down. Mm-hmm. Like I just said, listen to me here. If you're not the first to get a tight end or the second and get Gronkowski, be the last. Trust me, you'll work wonders, you'll win the league, and you'll thank me.
Nick, did you hear that? Steve is suggesting that if you're not the first or the second to get a tight end, be the last one because of people like Charles Clay. Do you agree?
I believe it. I agree to a degree, if that makes sense.
Except for
Julius Thomas.
Right.
I'm a Julius Thomas guy, and Steve knows that. But other than those three guys, maybe you wait until the 8th, 9th round to grab a guy. I'm huge on Dennis Pitta. I think that Pitta in that offense, we've gone over that. Another guy that I'm starting to come around on a little bit is Zach Ertz, although I'm not sure he gets hit in numbers this year. I would rather wait on a guy and grab a guy like Charles Clay than draft Greg Olsen, Zach Ertz, Ladarius Green, Antonio Gates. So a guy like Charles Clay in that offense, they won't necessarily be high-powered. You saw what Tannehill did last year. He put Clay in the red zone. And that's why I agree with Steve taking him where we did in our Instagram 12-team league. So I like Clay. There's going to be guys in drafts where they have the same idea, the same mindset as Steve. So if you don't get the top two or three guys to wait to go and grab Charles Clay, you're going to be weak at the tight end position doing that, but in the process, you're going to get stronger, especially in depth with running back and wide receiver.
Great. Well, Nick, we're approaching the end of the show, so I want to just make sure we get to one more tight end, and we're going to talk a little bit about Antonio Gates, who you mentioned earlier. You know, an interesting case in the sense that he has Ladarius Green in the picture, and, you know, obviously Antonio Gates has had some issues with staying healthy, and he is, you know, he's obviously getting a little older, entering his 12th season. So, Nick, do you think that he's someone that, I mean, you talked a little bit earlier about, would you draft him any earlier than the late 13th round, which is where we have him?
No, I mean, I think that's right about, I mean, where I like him, yeah. I mean, like I said, I take Charles Clay over Antonio Gates. I'm not taking Ladarius Green. I'd like to see more out of him, personally. I just think Antonio Gates is going to be the steady Eddie for Phillip Rivers in terms of tight ends in that offense. That's when you start drafting him. It's sort of a Frank Gore situation, yeah. You know, an earlier callback to Frank Gore. You know, I think that until you stop seeing it from guys like that, then you stop drafting them. But you gotta keep riding those trains a little bit just because they've been so productive for so long.
Yeah, you know, it's almost the opposite hype train for Antonio Gates as you think about it, because Ladarius Green's getting on the hype.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy to break out.
Exactly.
Nick nailed it on the head. Frank Gore, you know, until you show me you're going to do bad, I'm going to believe in you. And if I miss on a guy like Charles Clay, who is right now just, like, on my draft board,
okay.
I'm looking for maybe a guy like Antonio Gates or a guy like Martellus Bennett that's in Chicago where it's just him out there. I love that Chicago offense, by the way. But those are three guys that I'm looking for if I, you know, miss on for those first two guys.
Great. All right. Well, that about kind of takes us to the end of our hype section.
We got the
section.
Music coming on.
It is exciting in here in the
and
greatest
we rolled,
bar. Oh, my goodness.
We rolled the wave.
Wow. And Andy has sources and great dance moves. All right, everyone. I want to take a minute just to remind everyone that tomorrow is the big day. It is at CBS scene, beginning at 10 a.m. We have Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard leading the CBS Sports Fantasy Draft Party, which should be really fun. It's free admission.
Nice.
So, we encourage people to head down there at Patriots Place and check it out.
Yep.
Steve and I believe Nick, you're also going to be down there too. So it should be a good time. And
I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm really
excited
to meet
Jamie. We'll be down there. I'll be there with a fur coat. Steve will be down there with his mustache. We'll be signing autographs. right outside the CBS.
So will Steve's mustache.
My signature is drawing mustaches on people. That's my signature.
So, in other words, people stay far away from Steve.
No, all Steve's going to do is going to dip his face in paint and then just sign with the mustache. Just the mustache.
Wow.
This is my paintbrush.
That's going to be his signature.
I'm really disappointed that I can't go, but it sounds like it'll be a lot of fun, guys. And, you know.
It's going to be a good time. So, make sure you guys come out there and check it out. They're giving away so many prizes, and you get to talk to the analysts and get to talk to us as well. So, definitely going to be a great time for sure.
Be a lot of fun. All right, well, that about wraps it up for episode 16 live here at the Greatest Bar. We'll be here for episode 17 next week, where we're going to do a live draft. So we have a bunch of the folks who do podcasts here at the Greatest Bar participating in a fantasy football league, and that should be fun. I believe I am the only girl, so watch out.
Oh, Nick's in the league too.
That means you have more pressure on you to take it down. So.
Yeah. Well, Steve. It should be a lot of fun, so we're looking forward to that. So we hope everyone has a great night.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us,
Thank you.
And we will see you next week.
Adios.
See ya.